Sometimes it just don't pay to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with growing pains. He's often described as mid-century modern Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? I'm not really expecting an answer, but it's always nice to know that somebody cares about your well-being, and if nobody else does, at least I do. So thank you so much for joining us at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It is a beautiful summer day in Illinois where I am, and I suspect it's a beautiful Arizona summer day wherever Randy Carson is. We'll discuss that in a minute. First thing I wanted to point out was the fact that Drew McMillan, my nephew, is our announcer for every episode, and he does a fantastic job, and I just like to give him the kudos that he deserves. And also, I should ask him whether his scheduled premiere of his next season, the 2021 season of his Powerboat TV Canadian television show, is going to be delayed because of the virus. I bet they're using that as an excuse not to work at all. He was going to go on his honeymoon to Hawaii after the 2020 season of Powerboat TV was recorded. And then, of course, the virus came along. And in Hawaii, in case you didn't know, what they were doing was quarantining visitors from wherever, but especially Americans from the mainland, in their hotel rooms. They had a very elaborate structure set up so that if you flew to Hawaii and you had hotel reservations, you would be interrogated and the hotel would be contacted and they would have announced that you had arrived at the airport, that you were getting a taxi cab to the hotel, and the hotel was instructed to give you a room key, an electronic room key, that would only open your hotel room door once. And you were supposed to stay in your hotel room for 14 days. I heard about some people that got arrested because they said, to heck with this, I'm going to go walking on the beach. And frankly, I don't like that sort of draconian tactic for dealing with people that might not even be sick. But they panicked and they are a kind of a different state. They're not like the rest of the states. They are in their own little world. And so Drew McMillan said, screw it. I'm not going to Hawaii and sitting in a hotel room for 2 weeks. So he and his lovely bride stayed in Canada. And I'm hoping that they get a good honeymoon down the road when all this panic about COVID-19 Chinese Wuhan flu is over and done with. At least that's my hope. So anyway, we are here to pay homage to the lazy man's need for knowledge about Medicare and what has to be done when somebody approaches Medicare. Often at this point, I ask Randy to play my 30-second radio spot that he carefully crafted with me. And frankly, maybe that's what we should do right now. It does a good job of explaining what we're up to. And let's listen carefully as Randy plays that.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Oh, that was beautiful. Something to be proud of. Thank you very much, Randy, for playing that. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, how are you out in the hinterlands of Illinois?
I am happy as a clam. We just came back after vacating the house for a tour by a potential buyer. I've been trying to sell this house ever since the end of 2016. And frankly, I am pleased with what I heard about his appreciation for the construction, the quality of the materials, and the size of the property and everything else. They're kindred spirits. They live in Paradise Valley during the wintertime and up here in Illinois and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin during the summertime. So things look good. I haven't heard anything official from them yet, but I'm cautiously optimistic. So you and I are a little off our scheduled start time because I had to vacate the premises. But I am also surrounded by my brand new roll of white 2-inch deep foam rubber that hopefully will reduce some of the echoes. I'm in a room that has vaulted ceilings and skylights, a lot of glass, hardwood floors, and Randy has always told me it's a very echoey room, and so I am now wrapped in styrofoam or foam rubber, so I'm hoping it makes a difference as to the quality of the audio that I am putting out on the recorder for Randy to capture. So, but he says he can't tell until it actually gets recorded. I also wanted to tell Randy about something interesting. He may have already seen this, but I was fascinated because our podcast host, Podbean, changed its organization. You know, I knew how to work it, and then all of a sudden it looked all different when I went to check it out again. So I'm clicking on things, and I accidentally stumbled on the geography statistics. And I hadn't known this, but in addition to 96, almost 97 of our listenership in the United States, we have almost 2% of our listenership in Canada. So I'm thinking maybe they're just expats that are interested in what Medicare might have for them, or people vacationing in Canada that might be coming back to the States at some point. But we also have listeners in Israel and India and Morocco and the Netherlands. Those are the other four countries. We're getting to be, you know, pretty slim pickings in any countries that I have not read off. But it's weird to have our podcast, our Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, especially designed for Americans of age 65 and greater, be listened to by people in foreign countries. I just think that's really, really odd. So I wanted to share that with Randy and with all of you. So now I get to the meat of the subject. Unusual for us, but Randy and I are going to try to stay on topic, at least earlier in the episodes, instead of reminiscing. We'll do our reminiscing and our free association storytelling closer to the end of the episode, if that activity becomes part of our conversation, and it always has, so I don't see why it wouldn't. But basically, I wanted to just chat today about the method for selecting your prescription drug plan, which we call PDP, prescription drug plan. What I've done in the book and in the prior book, and what I'll do in the next book, is give a step-by-step method of going to the government website and doing this and then doing that and doing this and then doing that. Click on this, enter this information, and then within 5 minutes, perhaps 10 minutes if you take a lot of prescription drugs, all of a sudden you'll be able to see which drug plan you should select for the coming year. Typically, you would do this in the fall during open enrollment, and then you will know all the drug plans available in your area, your zip code, or your county, in order of cost, in order of the annual cost of the cost of the premium of the drug plan itself, plus any co-pays or deductibles that you would have to encounter because of the drugs that you take. And I have always wondered why it wasn't 100% easily understood, and I chalk that up to the federal government's poor website design. I basically figured, okay, there are some things about this that don't always make sense to me. And the light bulb went on just a couple of days ago. So if you're a person who's approaching Medicare and you want to know what your drug plan might cost you, and the reason we get a drug plan when we're eligible for Medicare, especially when we take Part B, is we don't want to be saddled with a lifetime late enrollment penalty. We don't want to have to be penalized because we didn't take the drug plan right away when we're eligible for it. And even though no drugs are taken, healthy people that don't take any drugs can get a drug plan that costs them about $13 a month. And that is a lot less than a lifetime late enrollment penalty is going to be if they don't take the drug plan at the proper time. So I always encourage you to take it on time when you first become eligible for Medicare for Part B. When you sign up for Part B, get a drug plan. That's the general rule of thumb. So what I will then tell you to do is to go to the government website. I've got all this in the book, but you would go to plan-compare.com, I believe it is, and then it says it has various steps, and you start with step one, which is, what would you like to do today? Do you want to log in or do you want to open an account? And I tell people it's just simpler to open an account, or not to open an account, to log in. You can always go back and open an account. If you take a lot of drugs and you don't want to have to mess with putting them in over and over again, but yet you're going to come back and do this comparison, then it might be better for you to open an account. But most people don't take a lot of drugs. Just go ahead and enter the comparison process, the plan comparison. Follow the directions, and the directions that I have in the book or on the website will show you what to do. And eventually, you'll come up with a list. In my neighborhood, it's 32 plans listed from the least expensive to the most expensive. So I've got a client. He's an old friend of mine, and he's turning 65. So I did this for him, and I came up with some answers that I could not explain. I was confused because it said, all right, here he is. He's going to turn 65 on October 1st. So I figure he's got October, November, December of premiums to pay. But then it occurred to me that the program never asked, the government website never asked what start date the drug plan was going to have. So it assumed that I was starting August 1st of 2020 and that my friend was going to pay the $13 a month premium on the cheapest drug plan for every month until the end of the year. And also I said, well, what about copays on his drugs? Well, I went back and looked, and he takes three of the most common, least expensive, most easily obtained drugs there are, and they have no copay. They're all generics. They have zero copay. So all he's going to have to pay is a $13 a month premium. But it took me a long time to realize that the program on the government website is not sophisticated enough to ask you when the effective date will be in order to calculate your exact cost for the balance of the year. So what it's going to do is going to calculate it from now until the end of the year. Now, in October-ish or thereabouts, when open enrollment is happening, then you will be selecting your drug plan for the following year to make sure, if you have one now, to make sure the one you have is still correct for you, or to see whether there is a less expensive alternative that you will want to change to. And we will discuss this in greater detail in October, in November, to make sure that everybody that listens, even new listeners, are able to avail themselves of this drug selection process. But the cool thing about it is that once you've selected your drug plan and you've done it in October or November, it will have calculated from the first of the year when your new plan will be effective. So the math, the weird anomaly that I ran into a couple of days ago, isn't likely to happen when we do this in October or November. It's going to, I believe, if I'm correct, assume that you're starting January 1st with a new drug plan. And then it's going to list all the plans and your total out-of-pocket cost, which would include drug copays, drug deductibles, and the premium for the drug plan that you purchase. It'll show you what the cost would be for 12 months. And that's valuable knowledge because it's not just the premium for the plan, it's the total outlay that you want to pay attention to. People get wrapped up in this, oh my God, what about the donut hole? Oh, what's the deductible on this plan? And what does it cost per month? And if you take all of it, this website will list the exact 100% dollar amount that comes out of your pocket during the course of the next 12 months. And you will then have an excellent comparison from the least expensive plan, which is probably the one you're going to want, to the most expensive plans, which you probably won't want. And the thing you can do then is click on a little box on each of these plans that says buy it now or enroll now. And you can enroll directly with the plan and you don't have to deal with any dopey insurance salesman like me. So we'll discuss this in greater detail, but I just wanted to let people know that if you're trying to do it now, because maybe your 65th birthday is coming up soon and you followed the steps in the book, you might have kind of a weird result. And I wanted to let you know that it's not out of the ordinary to have the government website not operate in the best possible or the most clear possible way. So that's my story about drug plans selection today, Randy.
That was really good, interesting information. I'm glad you covered that because, you know, other than an expert like you, who would catch that?
Well, I was confused, and I'm easily confused, but I thought, my God, why? This makes no sense to me. I have to explain it to my friend. How am I going to figure this out? And I wondered, who could I call? Could I call somebody at the U.S. government? No, don't want to do that. So I believe, you know, enough head scratching, I was able to figure out the exact rationale behind it. And it turns out there's a flaw in their website. Experts, Medicare experts, have complained about the government's website being weird, useless, and frustrating to use. And it's not getting any better. But I did figure out this little flaw. So I still think we've got a valuable service there to help people make sure that their drug plan is the least expensive that they can find. So,
things I wanted to share with you and a question.
Please do.
We have about 3 minutes left on this particular episode. So I think this would be a good time to ask if there's any comparison between this Hawaii plan of they've got a room key that'll only open the door one time. You know what that brought to mind? I think there's another situation that works
it
like
sounds
that.
Sounds like it's going to be scary.
All right. Well, I was going to say, I think the other thing that works like that is the Arizona State Prison.
Well, now there are several. if anybody wanted to get a good inside look at the Arizona State Penitentiary, that would be in Florence, Arizona. And that's going to be in the movie. What was that movie with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they went. I used to drive by that prison, and it was an old-time bastion, really scary-looking building surrounded by concertina wire on a fence, and they had these overweight deputies riding horses around the perimeter inside the fence.
Yeah.
There was a path that had been worn down about 3 feet, so you could drive by there, and if one of the deputies was riding around with his shotgun up on his knee, it would look like the horse had little tiny legs
because the path was worn. These are special horses. They got really short legs. That way the deputy lift their legs so tall.
They all came from the carnival where they'd walk around in circles.
Hey, I got one more bit of this is trivia. So we've got a couple of minutes left. And before we thank the folks and kind of wrap up with tell them where to buy the book, what state in the union eats the most spam?
That's going to be Hawaii.
It is. Everybody loves spam.
I think it's because the Navy served so much of it that spam was very plentiful during World War II, and they just had a lot of spam laying around, and they got the taste for it. They got the hankering for it.
The Hawaii folks have taken spam to a new, unexplored level.
And it's unexplored because the rest of us don't really want to have that much exploration when it comes to spam. But I did want to read one little email or one little mailbag item, which...
Oh, absolutely.
Since we're right at the end of the episode, this might be the best time to read it because it's not really Medicare so much as a surprising reaction to our podcast. And so I'll just go through this quickly. First of all, I like this guy a lot because his name is Doug. And so I know he's got to be a superior human being. But he sent me an email, and it basically says, and it went to the website and got forwarded to me, and it says, you received a message from Doug, and I'm not going to say his last name right now. And then I got another one. I think it was later that day or the next day. No message, no body of thought, just basically you received a message. And so it had a phone number, and I called the phone number back. And I said, I had left a message. And then I sent the email also in response. And I said, I left a message on your phone number. Let me know a good time to call you, and I'll try to conform to your schedule. And then he said, sorry, I wanted to see if I could either schedule or receive a call to ask a couple of questions. So this is the way a lot of people do it. They're hoping for an appointment, a telephone appointment. But, you know, if I'm out doing things, I can't always do it as promptly as I would like to, but when people write to me and they put their questions in writing, I can respond more quickly, and also I get the chance to do research in case there's something I don't know off the top of my head. So anyway, I get another email from Doug, and he said, sorry for the phone/email tag. He said, I'm a 15-year insurance agent on the group employee benefits side. That's where I got my feet wet in insurance too, by the way. Employee benefits was what I finally sunk my teeth into after being in life insurance. And employee benefits was what I never really left. So this gentleman and I share some common experience, I'm sure. He said, I was listening to some of your podcasts for education to assist my parents with supplement/advantage decisions. So he's been coming to the right place to help his parents make up their minds as to whether a Medicare supplement plan or whether a Medicare Advantage plan would be the best choice for them. And he said, during that project, I've become interested in maybe changing my focus to senior sales. Do you work with other agents, and or would you be someone I could get guidance from? Wow, I ran downstairs and showed my wife how much I've enriched this man's life. I've changed the whole direction of his career. And so then I said, hi, Doug, I am humbled that my podcast might have had a beneficial effect on someone's career aspirations. Don't be shocked about this, but you can expect to hear this exchange discussed at some length on a future podcast recording. I'm still in the planning and early execution stages of establishing a nationwide business. Therefore, I haven't given any thought as to how I might work with other agents in a way that will multiply our efforts and increase our success. On the other hand, I'm happy to share my thoughts and opinions on a variety of subjects all day long. Randy knows that. I'll yak all day long about nothing if it comes down to it. And then I said to Doug, for instance, I think you might be making a wise choice in redirecting your sales efforts to the Medicare arena. I believe the potential for financial success is very high, and the activity can be quite rewarding. Further, I'm happy to offer whatever I can in the way of encouragement and assistance. If you pursue this new direction, feel free to pick my brain anytime if you think I can be of help to you. And he wrote back, he said, I received your email and it was well received. I really appreciate your encouragement and willingness to be a sounding board, mentor, and whatever else. Hopefully you won't regret making the offer. I'm booked solid this week. Well, he's busy at least, but I would love to schedule a call or a Zoom the following week or two to spend a little time together. I hope the conversation will be mutually beneficial. If this sounds okay, let me know. And so I told him all of the following week, not this week, but next week, I'm wide open. I don't think Zoom is the right way to do it, only because the picture in my book is about 10 years old, and I don't want to horrify him about the passage of time. Father Time has not been kind to me, so I think the telephone is probably best for talking to my protege. I'm going to refer to him as my protege. I've never had a protege before. So that's the one mailbag item that I wanted to share today. It's not helping anybody make any Medicare decisions, but at least I wanted to let people know that something about this podcast has had a beneficial effect on somebody. Doesn't that make you proud, Randy?
It does. The other, and, you know, I would fully expect that conversation to be a very interesting conversation, because not everybody in the world gets a chance to talk to Doug Jones, who, you know, he was probably in the beginning of insurance, you know, like, I'll give you two pieces of gravel for, you know, if somebody takes them, I'll get three back. But that's a whole nother story. But what I did want to share with you is I had a conversation with a friend of mine this morning who unfortunately has had significant amounts of medical issues throughout his life. And now he's retired and he's on Medicare. And we were standing in the driveway while we were talking, and I got to talking about supplemental plans and yada, yada, yada. And he's got one, and he's had some issues even after he got on Social Security. But he made one comment to me that I thought I would share with you, because people that you guide towards this, you know, the right supplemental choices and those kind of things, I don't know whether you realize what a positive impact that has on people's lives, because Steve, that's his name, he's got all the right choices made, and he's still facing medical issues. But he told me this morning, he goes, that's one thing I don't have to worry about anymore. And he said it makes healing a lot more happy experience.
Well, that's very heartwarming. That's wonderful. That's good to hear that he made the right choices. And I do, you know, that's what our mailbag is full of, is people generally writing to say, the book led me in the right direction. It helped me understand, because the confusing mail and TV advertisements and everything else that I've been pummeled with don't help to explain or clarify anything. So I'm glad Steve was able to make the right choice. And I'm very hopeful that we're helping other people make the right choices too.
Well, I'm sure we are, because that's kind of evidenced in the context of the mailbag. But
let me close out the episode by saying Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 is my book. It's available on Amazon in three formats. It's paperback. It is an audio book. You can listen to it. And it is a Kindle, an ebook. And that's a little bit less expensive, but those are, and also you could go buy it at barnesandnoble.com, paperback only, but it's a few bucks cheaper on Barnes and Noble. Whatever you do, wherever you buy it, it would be wonderful if you think the book is valuable. If you go back and leave a customer review, it doesn't have to be lengthy. It would be nice to do that. And then we would be able to count you amongst our five-star readers. So with that, if you are listening to this podcast someplace and they want a review, it'd be nice if you could do that. But more importantly, it seems like there are many other things I have to peddle, but I peddled everything I can think of. You have any final thoughts, Randy?
I just wanted to thank everybody for joining us. We enjoy every time you come to listen to us. We know you could have been at least 17 other places, and you weren't. You were here listening to us, and we certainly appreciate that. We're looking forward to next time just as much. But in the meantime, you have spent 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, with Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.